We have a very special couple we would like to take and recognize this morning. Is John and Terry Seidel? Are they in here? There they are. Pastor John Seidel and his wife Terry are executive pastors here at Calvary Gospel Church, and it is their 37, am I right? 36, I thought you were a year ahead of us. Same year. My wife and I just went through this yesterday. She quizzed me. Oh, 36 years of marriage. And we have been friends for all of those 36 years, plus a few years before that. And lots and lots of stories. But it is so great. It is so great, and it's such an honor to have them here working at Calvary Gospel Church, but it's also awesome to just be friends, lifelong friends for so many years. And we have a special gift we would like to give to you two on your anniversary. God bless you, John and Terry.
Thank you to everybody. We really love each and every one of you. We are very close friends with the pastor and his wife and have known them for many years. Our first apartment was right next door to theirs, and we were newlyweds all at the same time. It was a lot of fun. So, God bless.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Pastor. I think the reason he didn't tell any stories is because I have a few stories myself. But thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. It's great to be a part of this body.
I just have to tell one story. We used to work together. And we lived right next door to one another. We lived in a little duplex. It was a little shotgun duplex that you literally open up the front door and you could see just about out the back window. And it was really small. And the kitchen was in the hallway. It was just a really tiny little apartment style stove and all this and that, you know. But since our bedrooms were literally, the closets were at the joining closets, so one closet. Anyway, we had this cat. My wife comes home with this cat that somebody at work gave her, and his name was Willie. And we gave him that name because one time he would purr, you know, just profusely, just wanted you to pet him and purr and purr and purr. The next time you'd go to pet him, he'd bite you. So we called him Willie, Willie Purr, Willie Bite. That was kind of our little joke there. But I always sleep with a glass of water by my bed. And I'd get up in the morning and notice that, you know, I didn't drink any water last night, but the glass is half of it's gone. And I kept trying to figure out how in the world or where in the world is all that water going. And one morning, and I don't know why, the closet doors were open, and it was early in the morning, probably 5:30. And we'd get up. John and I worked at the same place, so we'd ride to work together. And this crazy cat crawls up over my head, and I'm just laying there, and I could watch what he was doing, and he starts drinking out of my water glass. And I'm like, you silly cat, you're the one that's where all my water's going. And I don't know, I just grabbed him and I just went like this and just slung him. And I didn't expect to get quite so much leverage on the poor cat. But anyway, next thing I know, it's just this huge thump. He landed right in the back of the closet. Of course, John and Terry are right on the other side of the back of the closet. There's this big, huge thump. So it's kind of been an ongoing joke for many years about poor Willie. But anyway, so it has been great many years. So we have a baby dedication this morning, and it's with great honor that we're able to take and have our bishop is going to be speaking this morning. So we're going to get things set up for him here. And it's great to have you here, Dad. It's been, I think, 4 or 5 months. I think the last time he preached was at our last baby dedication, December. And he has a little, we're going to get him a chair here so he can sit down this morning so he doesn't have to stand. And we've got him one water glass, so that'll keep him to Just kidding.
Thank you, Pastor Roy, and praise the Lord, everyone. And Sister Grant and I, in November, will celebrate our 58th wedding anniversary. Praise God. That's good. I remember when I went to Kenosha and I redid the vows for Brother and Sister Manuel Rogers and Brother and Sister, no, not Brother and Sister Manuel Rogers, I'm sorry. It was Brother and Sister Barnett and Brother and Sister Norris, who was our missionary to Brazil. So they told me, I saw them not long after that, and they told them, said, oh, man, we had more fun than what we had when we first got married. So I was preaching someplace, and I said, Sister Grant and I just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And everybody kind of looked stunned, and then they started clapping, and then they clapped more, and they clapped more. And I said, now, I didn't say we'd been married 50 years. I said, Brother and Sister Barnett, Brother and Sister Norris said that their 50th anniversary was better than their first anniversary or their first honeymoon. So Sister Grant and I celebrated our 50th now because the rapture is going to take place and we may not make it to the 50th. So now we've already gone past 50 and it's 58. Talking about these kids, I just, you know, these kids are just remarkable. They are just remarkable. And they come up to me, and I get about 50 hugs per service probably. Most of them are from kids, and I really enjoy that. And if I'm not paying much attention to them, they just hold on there until I get free. And when I first started my first church in Cushing, Texas, we had quite a few new converts, and we were going to church, and my oldest son, John, says, Dad, I'm going to be a preacher just like you. And so I hugged him, and I said, I think that is great, son. Well, after service, he was out in the yard playing. I mean, he was running and romping and playing, and I wanted to show him off a little bit, so I told the group that was in the lobby of the church, I said, I want to get my son in here, and I want you to ask him what he wants to be when he grows up. So I called him in. He came huffing and puffing in the front door. I said, John, tell these people what you want to be when you grow up. He squared his shoulders and looked out, and he says, I want to be a baseball player. Oh, my. Now our great-grandson, who lives with us, and they're on the spring break vacation now. But not long ago, I have a recliner in my living room, and it's one of these lift recliners. And I sit in it a lot, and every time he comes over, he sees me sitting in it. He said, you know what I want to be when I grow up? He was telling his mother and his grandmother. And they said, what? He says, I want to be a grandpa. I said, why do you want to be a grandpa? He said, because I don't know how to do anything either. Oh, my. Roy, my mom and I had the best relationship. I just picked on my mom all the time. Now, you probably couldn't believe that I would do that, but I did. I picked on her all the time. And she told me, she said, son, I never know if you're telling me the truth or not. But after we moved to Wisconsin, she'd call me. Roy told the story about putting the phone on the table or something while somebody was talking. They wouldn't. My mom called me, and she did this all the time. She would not hang up. I'd say, Mom, I have to go. Well, just let me tell you this. She'd go on and on and on. Well, I went over to the AT&T store, and I got one of these extended cords for the phone and had a swivel on the end of it so you didn't get all tangled up. And I got in there, and I was talking to her, and I was fooling with this thing. And would you believe I unsnapped it? So I lay it on the counter at the house, at the kitchen counter, and I laid the phone down, and I went, and Darlene said, what are you doing? I said, well, I cut Mom off. I'll wait a few minutes, and she'll probably call me back, or I'll call her. So I waited 5 or 10 minutes. I don't know what it was. I went and plugged it back up. Would you believe Mom was still talking? She never did know that I didn't hear her whole conversation. Well, we have baby dedication today. I love baby dedications. I love baby dedications. I like weddings. I like baby dedications. I even like funerals if the person that has passed was living for God. That's a very important thing. But today, to dedicate these little kids, you just wonder, you know, what they're going to grow up to be, what they're going to grow up to be like. You wonder if they're going to be a preacher or a baseball player. But Sister Grant's going to come and introduce them, and we have some flowers to pin on them. God bless Sister Grant, yes.
Thank you. We're going to do something. We're going to start out a little different. I want Pastor Roy to come down. And I would like Lucilia and Nathaniel to come up and get their new birth certificates. Before they went on their vacation, they both were baptized, and we haven't been able to connect because they've been busy and everything, so glad to have them here. So if Sister Brown, Sister Kitty, and Sister Peggy Thomas would come, I'd like for Rob and his lovely wife, Lindsay, to stand. And I'd like for Lucilia and Nathaniel to stand. And I'd like for Sarah and Dustin. I should know that. I got a nephew, Dustin, and I've got a grandson named Derek, and that's what their little boy's name is. So it's just good to have them here this morning. It is not a lovely day outside, but it's lovely in here, isn't it? God's Spirit is here. So we got Sarah and Dustin dedicating Derek, and we've got Lucilia and Nathaniel dedicating Tessa, and we've got Lindsay and Robert dedicating Braxton. Now, Robert threw me a curve the other night. He was sitting across over here with little Braxton, and I saw him, and I said, oh, that kid's grown hair, or else they went out and got him a toupee. Because he had something on his head. I found out later it was a stocking cap. But he'll look handsome with hair when he gets it. If he doesn't get it, that's still all right, too. Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to give it to Brother Grant.
All right, they're going to get their flowers. I don't know. I wear flowers at weddings. I've just got this thing about guys and wearing girl colors. Wearing ruffle shirts. Just give me a t-shirt. Yeah. But it is with great honor that I come in your presence today. I am seated. I don't normally preach sitting down, but I've had some health issues. We built an addition on our house, and I fell twice, landed on my head both times. Seriously, I did. And I couldn't walk for a while. I don't think it had anything to do with landing on my head, but nevertheless, I just couldn't walk, and I was... 2 months ago, I was pushing that walker. Now I can walk pretty good. So I really thank the Lord for it. But I do have problems standing up. I can lose my balance. And not only that, my back hurts. In order to put this shirt on this morning, I had to sit down 2 or 3 times. Because I just could not stand up. So I decided I'd better use the table. So if you would just somehow remove the table from your presence and just look from the top of the table and listen to me. You know what we're going to do today? We're going to preach a message entitled Children of Light. Children of Light. If you notice little, we're always talking about cats. If you notice little kittens, they're born and their eyes are closed. And they get their eyes open, 6, 7 days after little puppies are born with their eyes closed. But children are born with their spiritual eyes closed. And we know when we say spiritual eyes what we're talking about. That children actually are born in sin. And their spiritual eyes are closed. It is the responsibility of the parents to see that these children become children of the light, that they have their eyes open. So what I want to do, I want to read from John the 12th chapter, verse 36. Jesus says, "While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." So he talks about the children of light. Ephesians 5 and 8 talks also about the children of light. And then we have 1 Thessalonians 5 and 5. Talks about the children of light. It is responsibility of the parents to raise their children and instruct their children in such a way that their spiritual eyes come open. You hear in the religious ranks, you hear ministry accountability. And to have devotions and to bring children to the church regularly, I'm amazed at how much our great-grandkids have picked up just by coming to Sunday school. They just pick up all kinds of things. And talking about our son Steve, sometimes he got things mixed up, but his teachers brought him to us and said, "You're going to have to do something with your son Steve." I said, "What does he do?" He said, "He sasses the adults." Oh, no, Steve. So I took him home early. We had two cars. Took him home early. I talked to him about it. I said, "Have you been sassing your Sunday school teacher?" And he said, "No, Dad." I said, "Listen, this better not happen again. You hear?" So the next week, I took him home, and I asked him. I said, "Did you sass your Sunday school teachers today?" He said, "Nope." I said, "Then tell me, what was the lesson about?" He said, "The lesson was about the Ten Commandments." And I said, "Well, can you name off the Ten Commandments?" And so he started naming them off. And he got down to, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And he said that, and he looked kind of puzzled. He said, "Dad, I'm not for sure what that means." I said, "Well, what do you think it means?" He says, "I think it means thou shalt not sass adults." I thought that was good enough for the Bible tells us in Psalm 51:5. Now, I'm going to give you the explanation, or definition, maybe I should say, of this as the way it's usually interpreted. I've heard a lot of different translations of this. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So basically what he's saying is that I was born in sin, and yet I was shapen in iniquity. So when you're born in sin, that means that your nature as a human being is that you are in sin when you're born. This comes from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. However, after you're born, if you don't get your spiritual eyes open, which I call the age of accountability, then you become a sinner because you're shaping in iniquity. And there are people that are 50, 60 years old that continue to sin. They think nothing of it, but they never become the children of light. They're born in darkness. Their parents did not become responsible in teaching them to see that their eyes are open. They did not teach them to repent. And what it means to repent. You know, I think the best thing that you can teach your child is that he needs to learn how to repent. A lot of adults don't know how to do that. That's simply asking God to forgive you of your sins and walking away from them and not live according to them. And then you instruct them to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, God's Word is our pattern. The new birth, according to Acts 2:38, consists of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and for the remission of sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that is the new birth. Now, there are many, many, many churches where they come up with many definitions concerning the new birth. But this is what the Bible says. And you have to stick with it. Stick with the Word. Always, what does God's Word say about this? If we stick with the Word, our eyes will become, or our eyes will be open, and no deception will ever enter in. But if for some reason, when our eyes are open, we begin to compromise the Word, and then our eyes become darkened, and we become deceived. Now, the thing about a deceived person is that a deceived person doesn't know that he doesn't know. That's my definition of deception. You don't know that you don't know. And it's easy then to become influenced by other Christians. I'm talking about people who have not been born again, but people who feel they have, but they just haven't followed the Scripture. And you see these people that are so nice and so good and everything, and you think, well, these people have got to be saved. But you always go back to the book. Always. You have to judge everything by the book. And so we have to stick with the Word. What does the Word say about it? If we don't stick with the Word, our eyes will become darkened. Deception will set in. Isaiah 66:4, I want you to look at this scripture. If we can have that up on the board. Now, this is God talking. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I call, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. You see, what's taking place here is that a person walks away from God. In this case, Israel walked away from God. But it would be the same for individuals. And when you walk away from God, delusions will come. That means that you will become deceived. Now, when delusions come, you may think that you can choose which delusion you want to choose. You don't have any choice in the matter. God sends the delusions. He chooses what lie you will believe and what lie you won't believe. Hey, now, I'm reading out of the Bible. And that's why I said, you better stick with the Bible, because it doesn't seem fair, does it, that you don't have any choice in what you end up believing. This is the reason why you got to stick with the Bible. If God said it, that's the way it is. And I've always felt in my life, if God tells me to do something, I'm just tickled pink to believe it. This is the reason why that I fear for people that are always asking questions. You mean I need to do this? Do I have to do that? You've heard people say that, haven't you? Well, I don't believe this, or I don't. What does the Bible say about it? What does God's Word say about it? And if God's Word says this is what you need to do, then this is what you need to do. And if at any time you follow down the path of life and you decide that you don't want to do it and you start backsliding, then the blessings of God leave you. You will never get any further in God than your last willful act of disobedience. That's as far as you'll ever get in God. And then your eyes become darkened again so that you can't see the truth. I'm talking about your spiritual eyes. And when you can't see the truth, then these delusions come. Now, you can't believe the Christians that I've known since I've been pastoring that have let the devil come. And they closed their eyes, spiritual eyes, started walking in darkness again. And those people just ended up believing, well, unbelievable things. You'd say, you talk to these people and say, no, look, you knew better than this. And you, well, yeah, I don't know. Now, I'm just thinking about a couple of people. Couple that I performed the marriage for, and all of a sudden he kind of walked away from the truth, and I could tell he was questioning a lot of things. So he told some of the people at the church, says, I got all kinds of questions I'd like to ask Pastor Grant. I don't think he can answer these questions. So he made an appointment with me, and when he walked in, I said, look, you made this appointment. Let's do this. Let me talk to you first, and then tomorrow you come back and you talk with me about why you feel that I'm wrong. So I talked to him for 1 hour. That's what he wanted. And then when he got up, he says, well, I need to be going. I said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. He says, no, I think this is sufficient. Now, I know the reason why that he never came back. Because he didn't have the answers to my definition of certain subjects. He just didn't have the answer. And since then, he's walked in darkness. His family's broken up. Not doing good at all. A lady came into our church, and she married a man from our church, and she said, now, I don't believe in all these holiness standards. And she said, I've got many questions I want to ask Pastor Grant. I got the word that she wanted to talk to me, so I called her and asked her. She said, oh, yes, I'd love to talk with you about it. So she came in, and she wanted me to talk first, and I was happy with that. So I talked for a little while, and I asked her, I said, do you have any questions? I can't think of any. And so she walked out of my office. Now, the thing about it is she never complied to the Bible when it comes to holiness standards. And she's going to a different church that doesn't believe in holiness standards. But I knew I knew when I answered all of those questions that she probably had, that she did not have a rebuttal. Now, you see, we have to stick with the Bible. It has to be the Bible. To be saved, you've got to have the want to. Now, the reason why that I think that you need to teach children repentance is because it's in repentance that you have the want to. You get the want to. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, we give an altar call at the end of the service. We'll do that today. We're going to dedicate the children. Pastor Roy will take the families out in the lobby, and they'll form a reception line, receiving line, maybe I should say. And the remaining congregation will stay in here, and I'll give an altar call. Now, our altar call is that we give you the opportunity to come and give your heart to God. And I've seen people come down and pray month after month after month after month, and they just can't pray hardly. And then in walks a person that's never been in church before, and you give an altar call, and I'm telling you, that person will slide into the altar like a runner sliding into second base. And they're weeping and they're crying. And it only takes them just a short time to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because when they heard the word of the Lord preached, they began to repent. And they repented to the point that they become hungry for salvation. Whereas the others repented, and they repented, and they repented, and they repented, but they never really got the want to. In other words, they didn't fully repent like the Bible tells us to repent. I think you've heard me tell this story. This past May, my oldest sister, Josie, had a heart attack and died. She was a minister's wife. They live in Rockford. I went to her funeral. But the one thing that I just was so appreciative of, and that is that she lived a long life of dedication to God. Now, here's what happened. Mother raised Josie in the light. She never missed church. She came all the time. But all of a sudden, she found a boy that she wanted to marry, and they got married. And then her husband went into the military. First the Air Force, and then the Army contacted him, and he went in. He served three different times in Vietnam. When Brother Rutherford came out of Vietnam the last time, he got his license with the United Pentecostal Church, and he pastored some churches, and he did really well. But when he was gone to boot camp or someplace, Joseph came over the house to stay with Darlene, because my friend David Fuller and I were having an all-night prayer meeting. So I told David Fuller, I said, "I'd like to pray specifically for my sister Josie. I don't know why, I just have her on my mind." So we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. All night long we prayed. And I went to the house, and when I got there, my wife had made a fresh pot of coffee, and she said, "No, we've talked all night long." And I don't know, remember now why, but I made mention of some girl that we had been working with. And my sister Josie looked at me and she said, "Don't even mention her." I said, "Why?" She said, "I hate her." I said, "You hate her? Why do you hate her?" "Oh, I don't know why, but I sure hate her." And she said, "If I had the opportunity, I would kill that girl." I said, "Now, Josie, you wouldn't kill anyone." I said, "You know what you're going to do? You're going to receive the Holy Ghost." She says, "Not me. I don't even want the Holy Ghost." I said, "How would you like to want it?" She said, "I don't know if that's possible." I said, "Look, I have a tape." It was an old reel-to-reel. That was the thing that in those days. And Brother J.T. Pugh had preached a message at the Texas District Camp entitled, "Your First Night in Hell." Listen, it was scriptural and it was an eye-opener. And so I didn't tell her what the title was. But I got the tape out, and I said, "Well, let's listen to some of this." Would you believe we listened about 15 minutes, and my sister Josie began to cry. And as we listened to more, she cried the more. And finally, I turned the tape off, and I said, "I want to pray with you, Josie." And I lay hands on her and prayed for her. And God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She never skipped a beat in living for God. And when I sit there on a chair within a couple of feet of her casket, and they lowered it down into the ground, how thankful I was that I had something to do with her opening her eyes again. She became a child of light. And now she's living in heaven, where Jesus Christ is the light of the city. Oh, hallelujah. That is so great. Now, we want to take and bring our children to the altar. So if all of you would stand with me. And I need three of our ministers to come down. Brother Thomas, you got it, Brother Hawk, okay. And then we would like for the parents to bring their child down. Rob, which one of these men over here is your father? That one. Second row. Okay. Well, what we'd like for your parents and Lindsay's parents to come in behind them. And then over here, we'd like for the same. If you don't have your parents here, I'm sorry, Mary, I couldn't see who was in front of James. He's taller than me, and I'm sitting down on a platform. Now look at this precious one. Now, do you have your parents here? You don't. You have friends here? Okay, come. Okay, the rest of the friends, the family, come and stand behind them. You see, the baby dedication is more than a dedication of the baby, but it's also a dedication of the parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, and so forth. So, if it be your intent to dedicate your child to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like for you to take your child and place your child in the arms of the pastor in front of you. Would you do that? All right. Now you reach out, you from the back up, reach out, put your hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you until we get all the way down to the parents who are dedicating their children. Now let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come in your presence at this time. We do ask, oh God, that we dedicate these children as children to light and not to darkness, but that you will keep your hand upon them so that all the days of their life, Lord, they will serve you, they will trust you, they will give their lives to you. I pray in your name, God, keep your hand upon them. And God, I pray until that day that they enter into eternal life that you'd be with them, guiding them, directing them. Oh, God of heaven, may they be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray also for the parents, the grandparents, the family members and friends. And I pray, God, that they would dedicate their lives to you, God, so that they can help in raising these children. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. So right now, Lord, in the presence of Almighty God, in the presence of all of the witnesses here, we dedicate both the family members and the child to Jesus Christ. Yes, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now everybody lift your hands if you would and praise the Lord. Thank you, God. God, you're so good. We love you. We worship you. We praise you, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Now, Pastor Roy is going to come down, and he's going to take, and if you will follow him down the center aisle, and you will form a receiving line, and we won't be long in here until we will be dismissing. But we want to give everybody here the opportunity to give their heart to God if they would like. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, isn't God good? Aren't you glad that you know God in the power of the Holy Ghost? Oh, God is so great. Yes. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
No one seems to understand the battle in